We've come to the last of our speaking engagements on our Bethel 101, what we believe about the local church. And just a reminder that next week, and Nathan's already reminded us that we've got a Q&A, and we've not done this before. It'll be some sort of a panel to address some of the questions that have come out of our sessions. And we're going to try to do that as well as give a clear testimony on what God says in His Word about free salvation. Looking forward to that. It's a little different program than we normally have. But for today, we will be discussing what we believe at Bethel about the local church. A few weeks ago, Len spoke to us about the church universal. You remember that? If not, you can go back in our archives and review that message. The church universal is made up of all believers from Pentecost forward, those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Bruno shared with us this morning about a divide that happened in the beginning of time when God created this earth and He divided the earth from the waters. And it was all covered with water, and the division happened. And now through Jesus Christ, the divisions have been broken down, praise the Lord. There are no more Jew, there's no more Greek, there's no more slave, there's no more free, there's no more male or female, but we are one in Christ. Church universal, made up of believers around the world. The body and bride of Christ. We heard a little bit about Jesus Christ being the bridegroom, and I think about my wedding day, and I watched Jennifer come down the aisle. Wow. And I remember one friend of ours, he made a statement at the wedding. He said, "I never thought my wife could look that beautiful." Wrong statement. But I saw her coming down, and I'm the bridegroom, and she's the bride, and I want to embrace her because that's what we've lived for. That's what our relationship grew into. And this is the bride that's represented in the church body and Jesus Christ being the bridegroom. The body of Christ around the world to showcase the Lord's love, power, and grace to a watching world. And let me tell you, they're watching. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Now, I've given you some study notes, and this won't happen for a little bit, but instead of me doing all kinds of reference verses that will just take us all day, I want you to be like the Bereans, and I want you to take this home, and I want you to study for yourself. I want you to look at this outline. I want you to look up all the scriptures, and I want you to honestly give a care and concern about what God says in His Word about the things that we're going to say this morning as representative of what we believe this church is. But Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, this is what we read. Through the church, listen carefully, the manifold wisdom of God is made known. It's made known to rulers and authorities in heavenly places according to His eternal purpose that He, God Himself, eternal God, accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Everything that was to be communicated about God is seen in His body, the church. The church is God's vehicle to show His glory and His power. The New Testament further defines the church universal into what is known as the local church. That's what we're going to speak about today. The local church is a body of believers in a local setting, in an area, a town, or a neighborhood, where the power of and glory of God is displayed, His Word is preached, and the Lord's ordinances, baptism, and communion are carried out. And this is done in a local context, in a small context, as we have here at Bethel Bible Chapel. There are many scriptures that direct us to what the local church is. We'd be here all day to do an exhaustive study of the church, but 1 Corinthians chapter 11 gives us direction on how we are to act when we come together as a church. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, it instructs the local church, and I'm going to reference this verse. Hebrews 10:25 says this, "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some or the practice of some, but exhorting one another, that's what we do here, exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching, and that is the day of our Lord, his coming back to take his bride home. God's design is for the local church to be a beautiful display of his glory. It's made up of sinners saved by God's grace. That's what I am. There's nothing special about me. Absolutely not. Sinners saved by God's grace. That's what this bride is made up of. But we're to be the hands and feet of Jesus to a world that needs his hands and his feet. And I believe it's a place where God has ordained for us to truly thrive spiritually as brothers and sisters in the Lord. My father used to say, there are no Lone Ranger Christians. Nobody lives unto themselves. We are a body that needs each other, and we require each other to support each other in all that God has provided. So we could do an exhaustive study. We're not going to do that today. And you'll follow along with the study notes. You can take that home. But for today, I'd like to direct us to 4 points of discussion as what we believe Bethel, what we believe here at Bethel about the local church. The first one being governance. Second is preaching and teaching. Third is the ministry participation. And number 4, roles and women in our church. Let's start with governance. At Bethel, we consider ourselves as an independent, non-denominational church. Simply meaning, we are not subjected to any outside ecclesiastical authority, but to Christ alone. We don't believe in any hierarchy other than Christ as a head of the church, and we're autonomous to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. That's what we believe the New Testament calls out the local church to be. Colossians chapter 1, in verse 17 and 18, this is what we read. And he, that is Christ, is before all things, and in him all things consist. In other words, and in him all things operate. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. We used this verse this morning in our breaking of bread service. I love that. That he should have it all the honor, all the glory, all the focus should be to our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. According to 1 Peter chapter 5, and I want you to go home and read this, the Lord Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd of his church. And instruction is given in 1 Peter chapter 5 that there are under-shepherds, and they're called elders. They work as under-shepherds of the great shepherd. We believe the Bible teaches that the office of an elder is reserved specifically to men, as outlined in 1 Timothy, the qualifications of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. It's also supported by the authority given to those that lead. And the authority being something that God has ordained for qualified, vetted men to hold that office. We also believe that as in Acts chapter 23, that elders are appointed by other elders. You'll read that Paul and the other apostles and elders of the church appointed elders in every church, Acts 14 and verse 23. And they appointed those that were already doing the work of elders. That's what we look for here at Bethel Bible Chapel, for those that are already doing the work of elders and shepherds and overseeing and taking care of the flock. Those are the people that we would appoint as elders. Scripture calls elders too, and there's quite a list. It's an awesome responsibility, and I think for the elder, and I'll speak for them as one of the elders, it's an awesome responsibility before the great shepherd to take care of the flock that he's given us. We're to lead the church. We find that in 1 Timothy chapter 5, 17, Titus 1, 5 to 9, and 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2. We're to preach the word. 1 Timothy 3, 2, 2 Timothy 4, 2, and Titus 1 and 9. We're to protect the church from false teachers. You'll find that in Acts 20, verses 17, and it goes on in verses 28 to 31, and in Titus 1 and 9 again. We're to pray for and visit the sick. We find that in James chapter 5 and verse 14. I want you to look these up. Acts chapter 20 and 35. We're to visit and pray for those that are sick amongst us. We're to exhort the saints in sound doctrine. Very important. The office of the eldership is to ensure that what we preach from this platform or any of other our ministries is from the Word of God. And not somebody's idea of what they think it should be, but we're to ensure that there's some authority in sound doctrine. We find that in 1 Timothy 4:13, 2 Timothy 3:13 to 17, and I apologize for not reading them all, but we would not have time. And Titus 1 and 9 again, and the last, we're called as elders to judge doctrinal issues. You'll find that in the whole chapter of Acts 15, where they called together as an assembly of elders to discuss that whole Jew and Gentile scenario that was happening in that church. In biblical terminology, listen to this closely, elders shepherd, oversee, lead, care for the local church, and were to practice sacrificial male headship, accountable only to the Lord. You read that in 1 Peter chapter 5, that we're not to lord over people. That's not the job of an elder. Do it this way or the highway. That's not the plan. That we're to show by example what this church should be like and what we should do before the Lord. And so it's not a matter of this is what I say, but this is what we do as a reflection of the chief shepherd who we are accountable for. And that accountability is very serious. It's a weighty responsibility to elder a church. We read that in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Listen to this. Having confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be no benefit to you. So we are the ones that are responsible for what happens here at Bethel Bible Chapel as we take God's word and we discern what and how we will administrate a church. Now, a few weeks ago, Nicholas said, maybe it was last week, there's not a lot of outline on what a church service looks like. By tradition and time, we've carried on a pattern of doing things, but the foremost responsibility is that we do things for three reasons. Number one, for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Amen? That is biblically sound, that it's backed up by Scripture in what we understand God is telling us, and number third, that it's encouraging and exhorting to the saints that are under our care. Well, that's elders. And that's the governance that we feel God has given outline in the New Testament for us to follow as a local church here at Bethel Bible Chapel. Next, we have preaching and teaching. We've already seen that from the verses that we referenced, that preaching and teaching is the responsibility of elders. At Bethel, we've expanded that task to include other, we call them qualified men, to preach and teach God's word to the church that is gathered. We use this word qualified to describe what the Bible teaches regarding this in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. The Apostle Paul instructs his son in the faith, Timothy, to search out and find faithful men who are able to teach. Read this in 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. Listen carefully. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ, and the things that you have heard from me, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. At Bethel, as we said, we've expanded this beyond the elder group to what we call as a speakers group, who are made up of trustworthy men who are vetted through the elders to preach and teach from our pulpit when we gather as a church for our services. These also include the two pastors that we have here at Bethel, which we believe meet the qualifications of pastor-teacher. We believe that the Bible teaches that the role of teaching the gathered body, listen to this carefully, and this is our stand here at Bethel Bible Chapel. We believe that it's based on clear scripture. We believe that the Bible teaches that the role of teaching the gathered body with the authority of God's word is given to men to steward. We find this authority and direction from 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12, which says, I do not permit women to teach or have authority over men, but to learn in silence. That whole idea of silence isn't that we're not to make a peep, but the whole idea is that the authority has been given in God's role and responsibilities to be stewarded by a group of men, not just any man, but men who lead and show a direct sanctification moving forward in their life, that they want to honor and glorify God for what they do and what they say and how they live. Not only that authority given to this group of speakers to preach and teach, which we believe here, but the overriding preaching, teaching authority is relegated to the elder, pastor, leader throughout Scripture. And those words are all synonymous. You'll see sometimes called an overseer, sometimes called a bishop, strange enough, sometimes called a pastor, sometimes called a elder, sometimes called a leader. But in terms of reference, these are the male representation of leadership within a church. We believe that the preaching ministry is integral to the growth of a church. I've read a blog lately that said we should sit around in a circle and talk. And that's good. We do that in small groups. We do that in our less forum Bible studies. But the preaching of God's word is a biblical principle outlined in the New Testament by the apostles. This is very that we're to preach the word in season and out of season. That we're to be very clear that the preaching, the proclamation of God's word is necessary, because if there's no preacher, how will they hear? The whole idea is our responsibility is to preach a solid biblical study series from this pulpit so that we can exhort and lift up and encourage the saints, and we're to do this in our preaching ministry. Absolutely integral to the growth and health of a church. And at Bethel, we're very thankful for men who are gifted and exercised to participate in this preaching, teaching, public ministry. We are blessed very much by God. Praise God. You know what? There's some churches that have a hard time finding a speaker Sunday morning. Or you hear the same person. And we don't believe that to be a one-man ministry here. We don't believe that. We believe that there's not only a plurality of elders, more than one, but there's a group of teachers that are able to administrate God's word, rightly dividing the word of truth. We get that from the Epistle of Timothy. Well, that's the preaching and teaching stand that we have here at Bethel Bible Chapel. Next, we go on to ministry participation. Well, under the leadership, and I have to hurry here, under the leadership and authority of the elders, there's a multitude of people who make ministry happen here at Bethel. Praise the Lord. We believe, as outlined in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's the whole chapter, start to finish, that the local church, the Lord's body, is made up of many members. This is what it says in that text. It's made up of many members, with each one with a gifting given to them by God, the Holy Spirit. Some of the gifting unique to each individual, some same as other individuals. And you'll have that whole list. Not only there, it is in Ephesians chapter 4 and Romans chapter 12. We have a list of gifting given to the church, the body. Remember, the church isn't this building. The church is the body gathered. It's given to the body so that it could be for the good of all. And each of these manifestations of the Spirit is given for the profit of the body. Each piece needed. You'll read that scripture, remember, what's the nose say to the eye and the foot say to the hand? And let me tell you, the smallest part in our body, if it's a problem, it's a problem for the whole body. Amen? My poor mother, because of diabetes and some blood flow, had to have her baby toe amputated. Well, it's just this long. It can't be that big a deal. She limped for months trying to learn to walk again. You think a little toe? Absolutely. The body needs every part, and we need to function together. No schism, no distraction of, I'm better than you. I'm a nose, and I'm an eye, and not too many people have noses like this, but the whole idea is that we don't brag about what God has gifted us, but we bring it for the good of the body, amen? Needing each other to fulfill the mandate of a body working in unison for the glory of the King. And with this diversity comes unity, and this is the whole idea of a church body, that we work in unison by the gifts that are different, the diversity of the body, so that we work together as one solid body. At Bethel, we believe that the responsibility of leadership, and we've said this over and over and over again, the responsibility of leadership is to provide an environment where this can happen both intentionally and organically. We as the leaders are to provide a environment here where the Holy Spirit can work and be free to work with the people that God has gifted. And that's an everyday conviction of our heart to reassess how we do things and what we do things and the way we do things so that the body is aided in what God has given to us. We thank the Lord for our pastoral staff. We thank the Lord for our deacons. Wasn't it great to commission a group of servants to take care of the church? Isn't that great? Our Sunday school superintendent and every ministry leader that steps up to participate in the kingdom building here at Bethel. And for those that are interested, and maybe you don't know, we have a complete list that Jennifer Johnusetis has made so clear on our bulletin board. Thank you, Jennifer, for cleaning that up. And it's clear of all the ministries that are there and the ministry leaders that lead these ministries, as well as if you go on our website and go under ministries, you'll find a complete list of those ministries and those ministry leads. The local church is a place that God has designed, and I believe this with all my heart, and so do my other fellow elders, that the church is a place, the local church, Bethel Bible Chapel, is a place that God has designed for us to flourish and thrive. And being involved in ministry here at Bethel is vital for that thriving and that flourishing and that growth to happen. At Bethel, one of our distinguishing characteristics is that our ministries, for the most part, are volunteer-led. Aside from a very small number of staff, everything that goes on here goes on by the work and the efforts of volunteers. Praise God. We believe Bethel should be a local church where family members give their time, energy, and gifts to serve the rest of the family. I don't know if this recalls anything to your childhood, but I remember my mother saying, if you're part of this family, act like you're part of this family. Yeah, like the whole idea is that you participate here, you eat meals, pick up your plate. And I know that's a poor comparison of what this is, but the whole idea is that we as a local family aid to other members of the family for the good and glory of God. Our prayer and hope is that everyone who comes through our doors here at Bethel would find that family connection, that they would be able to be built up in their faith and join in a ministry to serve and be served while they work alongside each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's how a body operates. That's what a body needs, working alongside each other for the good of the body and for the glory of the Lord. In the last minutes of our service, I'd like to speak about the roles of men and women in our church. First, let me say that as outlined in Scripture, we believe that men and women are absolutely equal in essence dignity, value, and are complementary by God's divine design. From the beginning pages of the scripture in the book of Genesis, we find that God in his wisdom and providence created two complementary, that certainly means that they complement each other, where we believe ourselves to be complementarians, that we created two complementary sexes for our good and for God's glory. Both women and men were created as image bearers of God. It's very clear in Scripture, yet different in their roles and responsibilities in both the church and at home. We believe that these roles and responsibilities are defined by God's word and not by the culture around us. We don't believe that the going non-political statement or political stand is how we guideline the church. We really don't care. What we care about is what God says. And so the administration of what we believe as roles and responsibilities has to come from God's word. And we're open for challenge for those that feel that our direction is different than it should be. At Bethel, we believe that all Christians, both women and men, are charged with the great commission of Matthew chapter 28, that they would go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, for I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We believe that commission is given equally to both men and women. We believe that the Bible displays a vision of men and women working alongside one another in both our daily lives and the lives of our church. We find all kinds of examples. I'm going to give you two of them. Phoebe worked with Paul in Acts chapter 16. Priscilla and Aquila took Apollos aside and taught him a better way in Acts chapter 18. The whole plan is for us to work as a unit together as ministers of God's gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, together as part of a body. We believe that the gifting, listen to this carefully, we believe that the gifting of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is given to both men and women equally, and that they are to work together in the mission of the church. At Bethel, we believe that equal involvement in the church between men and women does not mean the same involvement, but that there are different roles for each within the church. We've already discussed the roles of elder and preacher-teacher that are for qualified men. We feel that is supported from Scripture. But we believe that the gifting that God has given to women that have the same gifting of preaching and teaching should be used here at this church. Absolutely. So how do we do this within the confines of being true to Scripture? Well, we believe that Titus chapter 2 is very clear for us as women and what we can do in teaching other women, and same with men teaching other men. As well as that verse, we read in 1 Peter chapter 4 and 11 that it's incumbent upon us as believers that when we speak as the oracles of God with the gifting that God has given us. In other words, if God has given us the gifting of preaching, teaching as a woman, then we need to use it. So how do we use it? There's venues within this church where we believe God has an opportunity for us to use this gifting. There's ministries like Sunday school, ladies' coffee Bible hours, Bible study, Awana, Connect Four, youth groups, college and careers, small groups. There's all kinds of ministries where we need strong women to stand up and tell us, as they've been gifted of God, to explain Scripture and teach within the confines of that parameter. At Bethel, in our current context, that is what we practice right now, we practice the leading in worship and prayer in our communion service by encouraging gifted men who display a desire for personal sanctification to do so with humility and grace. We believe this to be a model of spiritual headship and leadership within the church. And that's our current context. That's what we practice right now. In our family Bible hour, we are blessed with women who share the same desire to lead and praise God The same desire of that personal sanctification, so they can bring us to the very throne room of heaven with worship and praise as they lead us in worship to our Lord and Savior. And they do so under the authority of their ministry leader as well as the elders. At Bethel, we respect the gifting of God given and God-given, the gifting and God-given abilities of both men and women. We respect that. We understand that God gives equally to his body and want to encourage each to use their gifting in this local church. We do not desire this church to be male-centric or male-dominant. We don't want, but we want to be true to Scripture, and we have to be accountable for what happens here within the confines of Bethel Bible Chapel. And we believe the tack that we're taking at this time in this place is what we feel we are directed by Scripture. We believe that the roles of responsibility of men and women need to be adhered to, but we want each of you to use your gift within the gifting that God has given you. I'm going to read some affirmations that reflect our belief. You have them on the back page of your study notes. We could not begin to list all the affirmations and denials, but I've keyed in on some key affirmations that I believe is an encouragement to the church. Number one, we affirm that both men and women were created as image bearers of God and are absolutely equal in essence, dignity, and value. I've already said that. We affirm that both men and women are needed and necessary. This is so important. We affirm that both men and women are needed and necessary for the health and ministry of the church, using their unique gifts for the good of the body. We affirm that the role of elder, as well as preacher-teacher, is the responsibility of qualified men. We affirm that elders are under-shepherds of the chief shepherd, who is the head of the church, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And to add to that, we are accountable to him for what we do here. And number five, we affirm that the Lord, and this is key to us here as representative of the body of believers in this local church here at Bethel Bible Chapel. We affirm that the Lord has placed this local church, Bethel Bible Chapel, in this location, and it's been in Sault Ste. Marie for 100 years, and this location, and it is our responsibility as a church to be the reflection of Christ to our community. That's what we set out to do as a church that is a beacon of light. It's like a city that's on a hill that can't hide its light. We're salt to a world that needs taste, and we're light to a world that's dark. And we believe that the responsibility of this church, this local church at Bethel Bible Chapel, is to reflect Jesus Christ to a world that needs him as Lord and Savior. I'm going to read Bethel's purpose. You can turn to this. We've done this many times. This is our purpose statement. Our purpose is to be a caring, Christ-centered community that worships God, proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ, and through biblical instruction, prayer, and fellowship, equips the believers to serve God and to share their faith as a way of life. That's what we want to do as the church here, the local church here at Bethel Bible Chapel. We're going to stand together, and we're going to pray through this. We know that some of these topics are not popular in our culture. We feel that we need to be true to what we believe and what we practice. And us as a family, I would like to do something. If you feel the intention or not, I'd like you to join hands with somebody, whether it's your spouse or your friend or people across the way. I would like to join hands as a church. I want to pray for us to be strengthened in our faith, for us to be encouraged and edified and held up by each other, that God's word would be preeminent and predominant in this place, and that we would be open to things that we may not see, that we would be able to honor God in what we do, and that we would be able to, with a clear conscience, stand before the chief shepherd and say, and our trust is that he would say, well done, thou good and faithful servants. Let's pray together. Lord, we're so thankful for your body, the church here at Bethel. We thank you for everyone that forms as part of this fellowship. We thank you that you've saved us from disaster life and darkness, and you've brought us into your marvelous light through Jesus Christ. We thank you that we're your reflection here. Lord, you've given us the commission to be a beacon of light here in Sault Ste. Marie, and we ask, Lord, that you would bless us. We ask that you would bless the leadership, the deacons, the pastors, the ministry leaders, the Sunday school superintendent, everyone that steps up here in this, the praise and worship team right here on the platform right now, that you would bless us in honoring you for your glory and for your honor, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to be part of the kingdom build here at Bethel. And Lord, our prayer would be that we would be a body that would be connected and needing each other, and that we would reach out and find each other in need, and be joyful with those that are joyful and be sad with those that are sad, and to pray for each other and to hold each other up in accountability before our Lord that requires us to be faithful stewards. Lord, we ask that you would do this, and we ask that you would do this in our hearts, in our church, and that we would be a body that's well-pleasing to you, a Savior that goes through this roof into the very courts of heaven as a sweet smell. We thank you for the opportunity to do this as a church. We pray this in the name of our Savior, the chief shepherd, the one who has and should have the preeminence in our church, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.